Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 17. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4 and the 17th verse. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The dear Apostle Paul so faithfully wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, with some solemn warnings, what Timothy had got to watch against, and to some blessed exhortations and encouragements. And in this chapter, of course, it commences with the solemn charge given to Timothy to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. But then he goes on to warn him of the pathway and the dangers which he would encounter. And why did the apostle do this to his dear son in the faith? Well, first of all, he did it for the glory of God. And secondly, he did it for the help and encouragement of Timothy, and to warn him of what was to come. And of course the apostle could write this to him from experience, because he had tasted, handled and known and felt what he wrote to him. But we find the apostle had many enemies, those that were not only of the ungodly, but too those that had even made a profession of religion and yet had forsaken him. We read, concerning Demas, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. And then just prior to our text, we have the solemn case of Alexander the coppersmith. He said, did me much evil, the Lord reward him according to his works. But then we find, after he had spoken this concerning Alexander, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And there's no doubt Paul feared that this man would cause even Timothy much trouble. But we won't read this. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I want first of all to look at the lonely pathway that the dear apostle had to walk in. Often it is a lonely pathway, not only for the servants of God, but there are times with each one of the Lord's dear people where they feel to be walking alone. And, that is not an easy path to tread. The hymn writer said, it is decreed that most should walk the darkest paths alone. And so often the Lord brings his dear people into places where they have to walk alone. And there are those things that are just between our heart and the Lord. And we walk alone with it. But really, though the apostle walked alone in many things, he was not alone because the Lord was with him. And you think of dear Moses as he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. There were so many times where the dear man saw the children of Israel turn to idols, to false gods. And there's no doubt he felt as though he stood alone. But, the Lord didn't leave him to perish in that lonely pathway, did he? And he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Really, this is the path that the dear Saviour himself trod. I thought, in thinking of dear Paul here, and let us remember he was shut up in Rome in prison when he wrote these words to Timothy. There he was alone. But the Lord saw him in that prison cell. He saw all that he was in, and in it there was so much teaching and so much blessing for the apostle in his soul. But just to go back to what I was going to say about the Lord Jesus, you think of when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read that they all forsook him and fled. And you think how he must have felt. He that had done them so much good. He that had healed so many of their sicknesses and afflictions. And now in that dark hour in the Garden of Gethsemane, even his own dear disciples forsook him and fled. Now, there was a reason with the apostle why they did forsake him. You see, the reason they forsook him, even those of his friends, there were those from Asia. If you read the earlier chapters, you will find there were those from Asia that were close friends to him. There were those from Jerusalem and other places that loved the apostle and so stood with him. But here, they all forsook him. And you may say, well, why? Well, I'll tell you. Because they feared for their lives. They knew that dear Paul, in this prison, was under the sentence of death. Those that so hated him were trying to kill him. And you see, they feared the same themselves. And it says, my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But look at the prayer that was in his heart. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. This was the same prayer that dear Stephen uttered just before the Lord took him into heaven. It was the same prayer that the dear Saviour uttered at Calvary. Father, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. They know not what they do. You know, he prayed so differently, didn't he, for these that had forsook him, these friends, than how he spoke concerning Alexander the coppersmith. He didn't say that concerning him, did he? He said, the Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. The margin tells us our preachings. And the reason was why he prayed differently for him was because this man had got evil in his heart against the apostle, whereas those that had forsaken him loved him, but they feared for their lives. Notwithstanding, our text says, the Lord stood with me. Now, he could write this to Timothy from experience. And we find here the dear apostle in a different path, and yet it was very similar to the Lord Jesus. You know, when the Saviour, as I mentioned just now, they all forsook him and fled, we don't read the Lord stood with him, because he knew what it was for even his beloved father to forsake him. And why did God the Father forsake him? Because he was bearing the sins of all the church of God, and a holy God could not look upon sin. And he forsook him. Oh, how low the Saviour was to come in all his agonies, both of body, of soul, and of mind. But with the dear apostle, notwithstanding all his friends forsaken him, the Lord stood with him. He said, the Lord stood with me. Now, you may have wondered why we read that sacred chapter. And really, it's a wonderful chapter, you know, what we read together in Acts 27. Well, in it was this very experience that he has here as he writes to Timothy. notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And we think of what we read. There was the dear apostle and those prisoners in the ship. You see, he wasn't with them because he had done outward crimes like they had done. There's no doubt some of them were some very evil men that were in that ship. It was a prison house. And the dear apostle was there because he had preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, and the enemies of the truth so hated him they cast him into prison and they wanted to kill him. And you think of the place they came into where they were to all be shipwrecked, beaten by the waves and the winds and the sea. They were all fearing for their lives. They cast the wares overboard, trying to get to land. But you know, there was a wonderful purpose in the apostle being in that ship. We don't know, we are not told what the condition spiritually of those in the ship was. But we do know that in it all, the Lord showed the apostle that not one of those in that ship would be lost. The ship would be, he told them. The Lord showed him the ship would be broken up, but none of their lives would be lost. And why we read it was because of what he writes to Timothy in our text. He says this, "And now I exhort you, be of good cheer." You may say, well, in such a situation where they were fearing they were going to all be drowned, and the Lord speaks to the apostle, and really was God's messenger in that ship. And you think of it this morning, it may be there are those things tossing you around in your soul. You're tossed about by sin, you're tossed about by Satan, you're tossed around by unbelief, you're tossed around because of the lusts of the flesh in you. And what does he say? "And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." There's no doubt unbelief would say, well, it's impossible. But you see, the Lord, what he had said was to be brought to fruition. And the apostle was lovingly to declare it. And then he tells us this, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." Who was this blessed angel that stood by him? None other than the Lord Jesus. He stood by him. And if the Lord stands by you, poor soul, in your trouble, in your afflictions, in your distresses, you'll know a little what the apostle felt. I want to look in a moment why and the reasons the Lord stood by him. So he could write this to Timothy, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And he could look back to that occasion, you know, when the Lord so stood with him in that sea. Could you look back this morning? And there were a few times when in great trial, or great temptation, great afflictions, Satan roaring, and the Lord stood by you. And then what does he say? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Who did he belong to? Not to himself or to the men in the ship or the captain or those that were there. Whose I am. He belonged to the Lord. Oh, to belong to the family of God. Whose I am. And you see, if we are true God-fearing children of God, we don't belong to ourselves or to any man. We belong to the Lord. And oh, may that be our great concern, to be one of his children. He has spoken so many times in his precious word, hasn't he, about his dear children, his dear people. Oh, to be found among them. Because if we are, it'll be well with us for time and it'll be well with us for eternity. And may our prayer be like the hymn writer said, what I quoted in prayer, with them numbered, may I be now and through eternity. Whose I am. If you belong to the Lord, poor soul, you have to walk tenderly in his ways and in his commandments, and you will love him and you will seek him. Whose I am. He was not his own. Think of that word. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. And may we ever keep that price before us. What was the price? The dear Saviour's own heart's blood. Oh, the cost of our redemption. Ye are not your own. Many think they can do as they like. They're their own. You dear young people, you think this morning, ye are not your own. You may say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and that is in man's nature to do it, isn't it? I look back in the days, in my early days, and I used to think, well, when I get to 18 or 21, as it was then, I'll do what this and I'll do that. But you know, the Lord so put the brake on me, I couldn't do it. You're not your own. May we lay that to heart this morning. You're not your own. The apostle says, whose I am. And then he says, and whom I serve. Who are you serving and who am I this morning? Well, the Lord's the witness. Are we serving the Lord? Are we serving ourselves or are we serving man? Jesus said, ye cannot serve two masters. It's impossible, isn't it? Oh, to be amongst those that truly serve the Lord. And you see, in this ship, Paul wasn't taking notice of the captain. He heard what he said. He wasn't taking notice of those that ruled the ship. Who was he taking notice of? The God of heaven. Whom he served. And oh, to serve the Lord in reverence, in humility, and in godly fear. And then he speaks a word to calm the whole amount of prisoners in that ship. All the great number there. And what does he say? The Lord spoke it, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. This was a word first for the apostle, and then really for those in the ship. Fear not. Fear not, Paul. The Lord addressed it to him personally. But you see, when he addressed it to him, he was telling him what he got to have and what was before him. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Thou must be brought before Caesar. He got much to go through yet, but he would be spared in this sea and all those with him and brought safe to land. But, oh, the mercy there was in it all. The Lord stood with him. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. And here in our text we not find him speaking to Timothy as he looks back how the Lord stood with him. But then there's no doubt, and I want to look at another occasion where this was wonderfully fulfilled in the apostle, but before we do, as he writes this to Timothy, the Lord stood with me, he was writing it to Timothy because he knew Timothy would need the Lord to stand with him too, just as he'd stood with the apostle. And let us bring it right home to us each here. Is it your soul's desire and mine this morning? Well, the Lord's the witness that we need the Lord to stand with us. Do you feel to need it? It's very vital, isn't it? You see, it'll be well with you, whatever may come, if the Lord stands with you. What does the Word of God tell us? If God be for us, who then can be against us? The dear apostle could well write that to the Romans, couldn't he? But then there's another occasion where the Lord stood with the dear apostle. And therefore he could write this from experience. And in chapter 23, he was brought before the council. There again, because he had faithfully preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. And there before this council, there were the soldiers, there were the counselors. And they took him and brought him into the castle by force. But what does he say? The night following, the Lord stood by me. The Lord stood by me. There he was, isolated as it were in this castle, but the Lord stood by me. And oh, how vital that is, you see. If the Lord stands by us, he stands with us. And so, as he writes to Timothy, he can look back to these two particular occasions, there are other occasions, but where the Lord stood by him. And it may be why the Lord has given me this word to bring before you this morning. You know, you're going to need this. None of us know, you know, what may come upon this nation of persecution, opposition to the truth, the government and many in authority are so opposed to God's word and to the truth as it is in Jesus. But oh, to have the Lord stand with us, as he did here with Paul. The night following, the Lord stood by me and then spoke to him. Be of good cheer, Paul. You know, the same applied in the sea. The same applied when the Lord Jesus walked on the sea to his dear disciples. Be of good cheer, it is I. He says, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. There may be many things in your heart and pathway this morning are casting you down. There was with the apostle. You think how he must have felt shut away in this castle and brought before the councillors. But the Lord stood by him. Be of good cheer. You know, he needed that word. And so did the dear disciples, and so did they in the ship, which we read in the 27th chapter. Be of good cheer. What you may be in that may be casting you down today, the Lord can cheer you in it. Be of good cheer. The world will say to you, well, you want to cheer up. It's often a saying that's said by the world, isn't it, when a person is cast down. But that won't mean much to them. It'll be this. The Lord to speak it. Be of good cheer. He wasn't in this castle by chance or brought before the rulers of Jerusalem. For he says here, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You see, the Lord had got a further work for him to do, hadn't he? And so well could he write to Timothy those beautiful words, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now, why did the Lord stand with him? And why would he stand with his dear people today? Well, first of all, it's because he loves them. You know, the dear Apostle Paul was a man the Lord truly loved. He didn't love him in his sin, in unregeneracy. But the Lord even loved him then, but he didn't know that love. And the Lord didn't love the sins that he was in. But he loved the apostle's soul, and that's why he brought him out of it all. And the Lord will stand by you because he loves you. And he'll stand by you to help you. He did the apostle, you see. The Lord stood by him to help him in this crisis, in this situation, in this time where he feared as though he and the rest were going to be drowned. And the Lord will stand by you to save you from yourself. And he'll stand by you to save you from the enemies that pursue you. And he did with the apostle. The Lord stood by. You think how many times they sought to take away his life. The persecution he endured. Well, the same applied with the dear, precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus. You remember on one occasion they sought to take away his life. And what did he say to them? Your time is always at hand, but mine is not yet. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. They couldn't take it from him, could they? When the Lord will stand by you to undertake for you in all things. He did for the apostle. You look how the Lord undertook for them in that sea. The Lord was in control of the waves. He was in control of the wind. None of this had come by chance. And he'll stand by you to blot out all those sins that trouble you. Notwithstanding, in spite of all those forsaking him, in spite of all the opposition from Demas and Alexander and others, the Lord stood by him. and stood with him. And may we be favoured to feel that, the Lord to stand with us. And you see, there were various ways in which he, throughout his holy word, where he stood with his dear people. There were times where he sent his angel down, like he did to Elijah under the juniper tree. And the angel of God stood by him. Jezebel and Ahab couldn't touch his life, could they? There stood by him the angel of God to protect him and preserve him and keep him. And then there were times where the Lord stood by his dear people and just favouring them to so feel his sweet presence. His sweet presence. You see, if the Lord is with us, it means we've got his sweet presence. And that's everything, isn't it? What does the hymn writer say? In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I'm secure. In thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. And he'll stand by his dear people to put down the enemies. You look how he stood by Gideon, by David, by Daniel, and he put down all the enemies. He stood by the children of Israel in the Red Sea, and so the sea couldn't hurt them, nor could Pharaoh and his host. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. But then there's the personal application of this. The apostle, as he writes this to Timothy, doesn't write it in any way to exhort himself or what the Lord had done in him, but he speaks this because he had personally experienced it. Not in any way to lift himself up. He spoke it to the glory of God. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. It's me. You see, what this will do, if we are favoured with it personally, it won't lift you up with pride. It won't lift you up to exalt yourself. It's not a boasting of himself. It's what the Lord had done. It's me, Lord. And may we each personally know the experience of this. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. It's personal, you see. And this is a vital thing, you know. The day is going to come where you and I will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall have to face the solemn issues of death and of eternity. We may be surrounded by a loving family. We may be surrounded by loving doctors and physicians. But you know, when it comes to the vital thing, it's my soul before a holy God. It's me, Lord. How shall I stand, the hymn writer said, in that great day? Well, poor soul, it'll be well with you if the Lord stands with you. You've nothing to fear then. Why? Because the dear Saviour came into this earth to redeem such characters as the dear apostle. He came into this earth to put away all his sin, yours and mine if we're among them. He came into this earth to stand by his dear people, whatever may come. You think how the Lord stood by those that martyrs that were burned at the stake, and the Lord stood by them and he stood with them. Oh, he did. Well, just one simple illustration, I must leave it because of the time, but you think of Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Who was it stood with them? When the king went to that fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, and what did he say? Were there not three cast into the fire? Behold, there is four, one like unto the Son of Man. You see, the Lord stood with them even in that furnace. Oh, he did. And he stood by them. The flames couldn't touch them. They even came out without the smell of smoke even upon them. Such was the blessed deliverance. You see, how vital it is. It'll be well, poor soul, if the Lord stands with you and with me through life and especially in death. Oh, yes. Well, I've only hinted at a few things. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text to us. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Amen.